Thank you, Robert. It is an exceptional pleasure for me to be talking with my friend of 25 years, Sarah Caldwell. She's not 25 years old. I'm not 25 years old, but we've known each other that long.
Our closet, because we were in kindergarten together, is not supposed to.
Well, let's be more specific. In the early 1950s, we were colleagues together at Boston University, where I was librarian instructor, and you headed the opera workshop.
And one of the nicest memories I have is doing your opera, Klaus, Sterling Man, which we did, as I remember, on television in a most interesting production. It's really a marvelous piece.
I'm astonished that you remember it. And I also remember that you came to me a few weeks before the performance and said, I have an idea. And I said, you always have ideas. They're crazy, but they work. You decided to do the piece on television, which was then a new medium, entirely with hands. No faces were visible at all. I didn't forgive you for at least 24 hours before I realized that you'd done an amazing thing.
Well, it certainly, since it was about someone who was really grasping, it worked very well.
It was just brilliant. And we knew at the time, when you were just beginning with us, that sooner or later, probably sooner, this career would be where it is now. Such imagination and such persistence at pursuing a goal was, I think, quite unique. Sarah, you were a prodigy as a child, which is what prodigies are. You played the violin very early, but when did you know that opera was it?
Well, I think only after I went to Boston, Klaus. As a child, I was interested in music, I was interested in the theater, but I always thought of myself as wanting to be a violinist, and I went to Boston to study the violin, and there I was exposed for the first time to opera, in the classes of Boris Golovsky, and he was so marvelous and such a brilliant teacher, and he made opera seem like a tremendously exciting thing, and it was a very natural thing because of my interest in theater and music to get involved, and I studied first conducting, and then I became interested in stage direction, and then the moment came when I had to make a decision. I don't think I ever thought of it in terms of deciding not to be a violinist, but rather to go into opera and conducting, but it just kind of happened, and I'm awfully glad it did.
Well, I have a suggestion for you. Our music director, Lauren Mazel, conducted a recording of Thais, and he played the meditation himself on the
violin.
Did
he really?
So well, I think you should do that in the next performance of Thais that you conduct.
Well, you leave me speechless, Klaus, but
Sarah, to you, what is opera? Because you have a view of it that is not necessarily shared by everyone who directs it or conducts it.
Well, I think that opera comes to life when the theatrical elements and the musical elements are fused together. I don't think that one really can function very well without the other. That doesn't mean that one has to have vast scenery and elaborate costumes, but it means that one has to have very gifted singing actors who are sensitive to the music they're performing and to the dramatic situation, and a marvelous orchestra that can kindle bring the music to life. And I must say that the Cleveland Orchestra is just incredible. I had such a marvelous time and such a real thrill in hearing the marvelous
music.
Well,
I know
they
enjoy playing for you. You are not the kind of opera director or conductor who would be satisfied with singers who sing gorgeously and just stand there. That to you is not sufficient.
It's really rather boring. Not the standing, but I think what you're implying is just a beautiful instrument that is not expressive. And I think the human voice can be one of the most extraordinarily expressive things. And the relationship between language and the inflection of a phrase and the way, the kind of sounds a singer makes dependent upon the particular emotional moment are the things that interest me.
But you also demand of them that they can act. I mean, the voice is not sufficient.
But acting begins for a singer, I think, with the ability to express a variety of emotions. You know what we've had in this voice country, various styles of voice teaching. And I think those voice teachers that are really good are those that do not concentrate only on just producing sounds, but rather on the developing the potential, expressive potential of each individual voice. I think it's such a shame when teachers try to make all singers sound alike. I mean, for a long time we had sort of the great American ideal of what a baritone sounded like. An American baritone was Robert Merrill. I think Bob Merrill is a marvelous singer, and I love the way he sounds, but each singer has his own individual quality of voice, and that is what is interesting. And to hear a variety of sounds and a variety of styles of expression, because each one of us brings our own background to the performance, that's what makes opera exciting.
Well, I think that's one of your achievements, is that you listen to a singer and you make that particular singer do the very best that he or she is capable of by suddenly having them realize what they can do. I think that's part of your imaginative technique with performers. Do you feel that the work that you've done with your opera company of Boston in the last 20 years has already exerted some influence on other opera productions?
Oh, Klaus, it's awfully hard to know. I think that there's been a remarkable growth in the interest in opera in this country and the development of opera, and we have many fine companies, and the concept of music is theater, which is what Boris Godofsky was preaching 30 years ago, and has certainly caught hold. There's a difference between talking about it, voting for it, and doing it. And one of the nice things about opera is it has so many facets and so many things which attract different people. Some people are primarily interested in voices. Other people are interested in scenery. Other people are interested in theatrical elements. The real opera lover, I think, is interested in the fusion of them all.
What is the Eastern Opera Consortium that you have established in Boston?
Well, this was a group of universities that came together to do certain opera projects. We do a lot of research in order to learn about the pieces we're performing. Opera is one field in musicology which is just barely beginning to be touched now. And so there's a lot of work to do before you really find out the background, what a piece is about, how it grew, what the the political and social conditions were when the piece was composed, what the composer and playwright meant it to mean to an audience, how the audience reacted to this piece, what the performance styles were. Did the composer, was it a slipshod performance because it was the best the composer could get, or was it really the way the composer liked it? Should one try to copy the style in which it was produced, or will that work today? I mean, I think that the major problem of producers is to try to make the work mean to our audiences today what the composer intended to mean. And sometimes one has to, I think it's a major consideration. And it doesn't always work exactly, I think theatrically, as it was originally done.
Well, you have certainly implied by this that you want everyone to understand as much as can be understood about a work before it can come to flower on the stage. It isn't a slipshod affair where each person contributes a little and doesn't know what the rest of the machinery is all about. I think that's a very wonderful teaching tool that you're developing. It would take us an hour to discuss all the 40 different operas that you've done with your company. There are any number of wonderful pieces there, Schoenberg, Sessions, just to list a few, Nono, and of course many of the great operas of the repertoire. Are there any, Sarah, that you are looking forward to doing, even in the distant future, that you have not yet done?
Well, there are a number of pieces, Klaus. We're now looking at a wonderful work of Schumann called Genoveva, which is extraordinary music and I think a very exciting text. We're probably going to produce the Joan of Arc of Tchaikovsky.
Lovely.
The Janáček Cunning Little Vixen. And we're trying now to commission some works to get some really fine composers involved in seriously writing opera. You know, it's now possible for American composers to have their works produced, and there are many, many interesting pieces being developed and being performed throughout the country. I think that I don't know how many great works have come out of this in this way, but I do think that it's now possible for a serious composer to think in terms of devoting the time and energy to writing an opera, because I think it can be performed.
Well, I think that if composers know that Miss Caldwell is there and will look at a piece. That in itself is a major incentive for a creative musician. It's been our delight to talk with one of the unique musicians of our time, Sarah Caldwell. I wish we had an hour to continue. Our thanks for giving us of your time and your thought, and we hope to see you here very soon again.
Thank you so much.
And now back to Robert Conrad.